Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I'm your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon has a very special episode today because we're talking about a cool thing. We're going to talk about some gaming at a convention in Australia here in 2022 during the time of pandemic. That's right. Hopefully when you're listening to this, the time of pandemic has been over for many years. And maybe it's hundreds of years in the future and you discover the show. Why, I don't know. But I will be long gone by then, but you will not be. And you're like, what was this pandemic and why were people talking about it so much? Everything's all chill now, and I hope that's how it goes. Right now, things are not so chill, but that's okay because I am joined by a very special guest who is chill. So all of you are in for a treat. Today, I have the one and only Joshua Shoebridge. Joshua, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. For those of you who don't know who he is, first of all, shame.
Yeah, second of all, I'm offended.
Tons of shame, right? You are famous in your own right because you are a podcaster, you're a Wargamer dad, you're a former radio presenter, 3D printing enthusiast, and I think most importantly for those of everyone who listens to the show, it's you're our audio editor and you do an incredible job because you make me sound from my normal terrible to something that's passable.
Oh, it's not that hard to make that because you already sound good. So you got to start taking the compliments, John.
That's very kind of you. I think you just opened the check that I sent you. So there we go.
Yeah. Well, the note's there. I'm just reading off the script.
Beer, say nice things to John.
That's exactly right. Now, I think it's funny though. We're talking about sound editing, and like this episode might sound a bit different to everybody because I'm recording it here in Australia while the host is over in the States. And yeah, I reckon it'll sound good. Hopefully, it makes John happy.
Well, see, I think, if nothing else, it's because we are really fancy and we're both Time Lords. So, for you, it is Monday, right? Monday, February 28th, and for me, it's Sunday, February 27th?
That's it. It is 12:15 in the afternoon Monday.
So, we're doing some time traveling here.
That's it.
We spare no expense, right, as John Hammond would say.
No, exactly right. Where's my cane with amber on it?
New movie coming out, actually. That's completely out of the blue for the show. But
I can segue this so it is. So it is part of the show.
Yeah. How are you going to do that?
Did you know that there is a tabletop war game based on Jurassic Park?
I never did. This is news to me.
There is a tabletop.
You heard it here first, folks.
Crap you not. It exists. I actually wanted to find a copy of it at CanCon for my son, Gabriel, who is 5 turning 6, he's majorly into Jurassic Park and all that, as I was at his age. There is a legitimate tabletop war game. It's mostly dinosaurs versus dinosaur, but I believe there are some human elements there as well. But yes, it is dinosaur v dinosaur.
That is awesome. And who doesn't want to be a dinosaur?
And I believe it's fairly new-ish too. Because you can see everything on YouTube for it. I think it's crazy.
They're doing all sorts of stuff these days, aren't they?
Oh, it's you name it there. But I think, like I was saying to someone the other day, I have at home Mars Attacks as a tabletop war game and with miniatures.
Okay, that's funny.
I know that there was a Starship Trooper game. There's a whole lot of stuff.
That is nuts.
No, it's crazy. So, and he's interesting. So, Jurassic World miniature game came out in 2022. It was launched on a Kickstarter. The miniatures look fantastic. But they've been like teasing this thing for ages. There's a website for it, jurassic-mg.com. It looks flipping awesome.
I wonder if they're trying to fill stuff for the backers first before it gets out to the public.
No, I think it's already out because you can buy it. There's a Yeah, you can buy it. There's a website that I buy a lot of miniatures off currently, and they've got the core set for sale.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So it's out. I know it's out. So I think, yeah, check it out. Dinosaurs.
You got to make the little guy happy. Go get your hands on a copy.
If it's not too expensive. Actually, how much is it?
it's probably expensive, is my guess.
This is the funny thing. Like, well, over here in Australia, we have what we call the Australian tax. And that's, like, you can buy a starter set for X amount in the States, it'll be at least double that over here in Australia.
Well, that's because everything's upside down there.
Everything. Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. So,
I mean, your toilet's flush backwards, for crying out loud. If it's not that, it's a drop bear. Something's going to get you.
I can't believe that you believe drop bears are real.
Of course they're real.
I was listening to another Wargaming podcast today, actually.
How dare you?
And it's a painting one. They're more painters. So Miniac. I don't know if you've heard of Miniac.
I have not, but I live under a rock, so it's okay.
He lives near you, I think, mate. So I reckon you should really see if you can do some stuff with him. He's awesome. He's an amazing painter. I think he's won a crystal brush.
Oh, okay.
So he's got some talent. But he does another podcast with a guy, and it's called Trapped Under Plastic. And he was like, I wonder how many times it takes a huntsman spider to bite you to inject enough poison to kill you. And I'm like, every Australian's like, huntsmen's are not poisonous. They do not inject poison. Or they do, but it's not poisonous to humans.
So the answer would be a lot? Anything can kill you.
It can't kill
I've
you.
Done
it
can't enough. Kill you. So I'm going to guess if you had enough of it, like if you have enough water, you can die. You have enough air, you can die. You can overdose on air.
Oxygen, yes.
So like if those things are true, and they are, the huntsman spider could in theory eventually kill you. It'd probably take a long time, and you would need a ton of it.
You would probably need to be bitten that many times by like 1,000 huntsmans to have a reaction, in my opinion. It would hurt. They bloody hurt. I'll tell you that now for free. But it's funny though, like the picture I just had in my head was like the Australian version of My Girl. I don't know if you've seen that movie My Girl from the early 90s.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, the kid dies by getting stung. Like Macaulay Culkin. It's Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin.
He gets stung by a lot of bees. It'd be like a whole...
Oh. Yeah, early in the film, too.
It just reminded me of a joke.
Oh, why do I think it's not safe to air on this episode?
Oh, I'm going to say it.
Tell you, that's why.
I'm going to say it. I'll make it sound a bit better than the original one. It's like, what do you do when your kid's...
Oh, God, this is going to be bad.
What is it when your kid is grey and furry?
Oh, God, what is it?
Your kid's covered in huntsmans.
Oh, jeez.
But to be honest, though, they're fairly solitary. They're very solitary spiders.
But I also know that I don't need to find out. I'm just going to take your word.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't bite you. They run away from you. Like this whole thing that like everything in Australia wants to kill you.
It's true.
It's partially true.
There's a reason why the British used it as a penal colony, and then for some reason people were like, let's make it cool.
That's what happens when you give the prisoners free reign of the prison. Look at Pablo Escobar. True. Look what he did.
Also true. But he had hippos, so it's okay.
I'm going to explain this to most people, right? So you know how, like, Brits, they're sort of like, when you think of a British person, you think, okay, they're fairly, you know, uppity, very arrogant, pompy, like that sort of thing. Then you got Americans, there's three kinds of Americans. You got your LA sort of like surfer dudes, let's catch a wave kind of vibe. Then you got your Texans, which is like everything's big, let's just like, and put bullhorns and absolutely everything. And then you've got the other side to us. Like where you're from,
the other side. Everyone else is the other side.
Everyone on the East Coast, that's like your typical American to us. That's like the accents sort of merge into it. Like, yeah, you have that separation between Boston and then Normal.
Demographics have just turned off this episode. We're never listening to this again.
But this is what I'm getting at. Australians, we take the piss out of everything. Like, we will make fun of everyone and us doubly, if that makes sense. No one is safe. No one is safe. It's awesome.
Well, see, I think that's what happens when you spend most of your days running from all the things that are trying to kill you there. So you have to be kind of laid back about everything and just kind of do what you can.
We just don't care. We really don't. Oh, okay. Most of us don't care. Like, there is that group of people that do, but we honestly just don't care. We just want to, we want to get through our day, kick some goals, and then, have dinner. That's about right. That's about it.
Without getting killed by a huntsman spider or a drop bear.
The most dangerous animal we have here is called Death Adder, like where I live.
Oh, yeah. Those are bad.
And brown snakes. We have those as well.
Yeah.
And black snakes.
4 hours later. And purple snakes.
it's funny. We do have snakes here. Like, as I said, there's only three poisonous snakes that we have here in this area, and that's the death of the brown snake and the red. And it's called the red belly black snake. So black snake, red belly, black snake, same snake. And then we have another snake that lives here called diamond python. And that bastard gets huge. They're big, but they are like the most chill of all the snakes, to the point where people have them as pets.
Now, do they like poop out diamonds?
No, it's a diamond pattern on their scales. Actually, they're really, really beautiful sort of reptiles, if you ask me. But I'm not one who would have a snake as a pet. I think they're too much trouble.
I can say I'm very disappointed. I was hoping that they would give you diamonds.
No, it's not Minecraft. Like, we are a different world. According to some people, Australia doesn't exist.
Well, magic.
Yeah, well, these are people who also think that the world's flat.
Well, hold on a second. As we all know, the world is not flat. It's a disc on the back of four elephants on the back of a turtle.
Exactly right. And God is Terry Pratchett.
Well, you have to have, an anchor point there.
Yeah, no, I agree. But you could also mix it into the fact that, like, technically, if you were coming out to Australia from the States, we're in the West. Mm-hmm. Because, living in LA to the West, we're the Undying Lands. That's what we are. Just like in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So do you think in Lord of the Rings they were also overrun by things like drop bears and monstrous kangaroos that jump out at them while they're walking down the street and kick them in the feet?
Let's be honest. They had a 4-story-tall elephant. There could be anything.
That's true.
Anything.
So Australia really is. I guess that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
It does make a lot of sense.
Australia is a great place.
Come on down. No. So when you're not spending your time thinking about all the animals that can kill you, that live, outside your front door or in your house even, what kind of games and things are you doing to keep yourself busy?
Oh, at the moment, two main games that I've been focusing on. So we've been playing a lot of Star Wars Legion. That's my sci-fi jam at the minute. I've been playing it since it came out. I don't think I've touched any other sci-fi game since. And
Hipster.
It's a lot of fun. I love it. It's great. and I've also been playing a game called Oathmark by James McCulloch. It's a rank and flank fantasy game.
Yes, you talked about that on a previous episode for me.
I did. Yes, I did.
You did.
Yeah, no, and that's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy that. But at the moment, in the backseat of my car, actually, I have a bunch of my old 6mm Micro Armor for Team Yankee that I'm going to start basing up and getting ready.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about going back in time. Micro Armor. My goodness.
Well, anything 6 mil, you should know this about me. I love that scale. If I can do all my games at that scale, I would do it. But you have to say skirmish games at 6 mil doesn't really work. But no, it's funny though, because with everything that's going on in the world currently, I don't want to say this without sounding heartless, but it sort of gives you some, what's the word? Like the muse touches you and you get some inspiration to for painting schemes and that sort of thing.
I can hear you. Yeah. I totally get that. You're watching the Olympics. You're thinking, wow, I really just need to take their costumes and paint up some figs.
Yeah, the Olympics.
Well, clearly, what else would it be? We have the Olympics. We have the Super Bowl not long ago. I mean,
let's just say it's a repeat of the Falklands, but inland. And not British.
So you're doing Oathmark and you're doing a little bit of Legion.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
a lot of it.
Well, so that's the question, right? Because we've alluded to these are trying times, right? There's a pandemic going on and all sorts of craziness in the world.
Yes.
So how does this, or does it, does this impact your gaming? I guess is... I want to say how, but does it?
Elephant in the room on this one, yes. With the restrictions that we had here in Australia that have just started lifting last week, literally on Friday, we were told that we were allowed to not wear masks inside anymore. It has been quite difficult. In fact, one of the members of my gaming group has got the what we call the spicy cough, because it sounds better than saying the corona. So he's currently got that, but he's doing all right, which is good. But we were offline, we weren't gaming for a few months there. There was a point where I set a table up. It was the first time since we went into lockdown. And I looked at my mate and I'm like, this has been way too long. I'm struggling to remember the rules. And I think there was two editions of the rules, two updates to the rules that came out in between that point too. So, there was a lot of time there where we weren't allowed to game face-to-face. So there was a lot of online D&D getting played and World of Tanks and what else? we started playing other games like Hell Let Loose. So video gaming became a bit of a thing. It was so weird. When we went into our major lockdown, we'd organized. So when I say organized, we were at a mate's place playing D&D, and everyone got a text message saying at 5 p.m. that day, we're going into lockdown. Everyone needs to return to their homes. Everyone needs to do this. The rules just started flooding in, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had to wrap up a game. We had to panic buy. If you didn't have stuff that you could have at home, you had to go to the shops. It was not a fun time. Lucky enough, we were not in that position where we had to panic buy. We had everything we needed at home. But then being the job that I have, I didn't get the opportunity to work from home because I work hands-on. And so that was...
You're not bitter about it at all?
No, not bitter about that at all.
I'm just saying that as a fact.
No, because I think I would have pulled my hair out, to be honest. If I had to work from home, I think you would have too. I would have gone nuts. And it's not because I don't love my family. It's because... I'm one of those people. I'm an introvert, so the drive to and from home is what resets me. And it was a lot of painting got done though. I will admit, I did manage to get some painting done.
So for me, you talked about the drive to and from work. For me, a big thing is I take a nap, even at work. Are you familiar with the American TV show Seinfeld?
Yeah, of course we do. You got to remember, all of the media that we get here is American media.
Well, that's true because we're better. But so there's an episode at one point. Well, you know, it's just as true, right? Because America is better than everyone else. At least that's what we're told.
Debatable.
I mean, we've been told that ever since I was born and before, really, that we're and that everyone feels that way.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because the amount of American media that we get here, a lot of people end up having strong opinions on the American political system. And they're like, it doesn't affect you guys. Why the hell are you getting so up in arms about things that literally don't matter to you?
It's very humorous.
Oh, it's crack
But up. There was an episode. There's an episode of it, which you may or may not recall, and listeners may or may not recall, but one that I really love, when the character George, he's working for the Yankees, and he decides he wants to put, like, a place to nap under his desk, and so he has a carpenter come in and, like, build a shelf and do this thing and does the whole thing so he can be there, and so he takes naps there during the day at work and hides from, like, his boss. So I got that idea. I was like, this would be great. And so at work, I have this office that I share with a really good friend of mine. But we're in the corner, so we have this whole – it's huge, actually. And it's all carpeted. And so when I had my friend move in with me, I said, you know, I think I need to pull Costanza. So I bought blankets. I bought pillows. And I put in, like, this little shelf under my desk, and so I can go under my desk and I just kind of curl up like in a fetal position and I take a nap, and people will come in looking for me, and I'm taking a nap like on, you know, an actual break, not just like during the day.
I was gonna say, mate,
I mean, I'm a government worker, but I mean, I have standards. I'm just not gonna live up to the stereotype. So when I'm on lunch break, whatever, I take my nap because I need a nap, and people come in and they'll come looking for me. And they have no idea where I am. I'll be right under there. But I'll be asleep. I have no idea. And so my friend, the last one's friend, and she'll say, oh, he's at lunch. Meaning I'm 3 feet away taking a nap under my desk. And but that nap, I tell you, it might only be 20 minutes, half an hour, but it's enough for me to just be like, okay, I've done a lot of peopling today, and I can do some more peopling later on. It's okay.
And just for everyone who's listening at home, 2 hours ago, I get a message from John. Doing yeah. everything I can to avoid nodding off. It has been an exhausting day. It's a Sunday. What because the hell I'm have old. You been doing?
I worked. I now have
a government not worker working?
Yeah, I know. No, I have another job now. So I work at a Lego store now.
That is awesome.
A little bit. It's part-time. It's a little thing I do. Sometimes, and so I worked.
That's the fun to have it. That's what that is.
Well, it's called it's a great job to have if you have a Lego addiction and you don't want to admit it's a problem, but you really want a discount when buying Lego, is what it's called.
Oh, that is crazy. That's awesome. That makes me happy.
No, it's funny, and I shouldn't tell you how many sets I bought today, but that's okay. It's work, so like I work today, and but also I'm old. I am old, and I tend to nod off around them.
I can't remember who's older. Is it me or you?
I'm older. I'm the old one.
How old are you?
You are a youngin, sir.
I turned 35 this year.
Yeah, you're young. Ooh, you are so young. Enjoy your youth.
How old are you, John?
I'm old and gray. And actually, I don't know that I've shared online any photos of me recently, but my hair is all getting silvery. And it is, yeah, I'm an old one.
Just so you know, my hair's starting to go gray now.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. I was laying in bed the other day, and my son was with me. And he's like, Dad, half of your hair is going white. I'm going, thanks, mate. He goes, yeah. What color was it when you were my age? And it was your color, mate, red. And he's like, oh, does that mean my hair's going white too? I'm like, yeah, mate.
Is that when you thought, I think this is happening because of you?
No, it is a Shoebridge thing. My father was white by the age of 38.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My dad's mother had a full head of white hair when she was 18.
Wow. Bleach accident?
Yeah. No, it was just a thing.
That's so weird.
I fully believe all mine is because of stress.
Yeah, it must be stressful working at a Lego shop.
Well, those Lego bricks aren't going to find themselves, man.
I'm very aware that my kids love Lego, and every time they're playing, Dad, can you help me find this piece? I'm like, okay.
I have to applaud you, actually, for using the correct phrasing for Lego, not Legos, as many do. It is Lego brick, Lego set.
We are learned people over here in Australia. Just saying.
I will allow it. I'll let you have that one. I mean, if you weren't, you would have all been killed off by the drop bears ages ago. So, I mean, clearly it must be true.
Yes, drop bears. Real animals, drop bears. Apparently.
Well, hey, you're the one who told me about them, so clearly it's true. You wouldn't lie to me.
No, every Australian doesn't lie to every foreigner that comes over here about hoop snakes and drop bears and all that sort of thing.
Clearly not. I mean, why would you?
I know, it's fun.
You're such friendly people. So, you've been able to do a little in-person gaming, right?
Now we're back to regular gaming on Friday nights at our local gaming
that's
shop,
cool.
Which is great.
You had mentioned to me that one such thing that you had done recently was go to something called CanCon.
Yes, CanCon.
Now, I'm going to presume a lot of people don't know what that is. So why don't you educate us?
It is Australia's premier tabletop gaming convention. It happens every year in January. What we call the Australia Day long weekend. Australia Day for us is like your Independence Day. So it goes over the weekend, which is great. And you see like every kind of game you can think of being played there at tournament level, which is amazing. Like we saw 6mm Team Yankee, we saw Flames of War, Bolt Action, DBMM, which is a medieval and ancients rule set. There was another ancients rule set at 10mm. There was Star Wars Legion 40k, Age of Sigma, Kings of War. They do D&D at competitive levels. They do, like, you name it, it's there. It is a major event. Weirdest event we've been to, the weirdest CanCon we've been to, because this is the first one since COVID. So the last time that I was able to attend was the last time it was on, and that was in between the bushfires in 2020.
Yeah, you guys have been hit really hard with all sorts of awfulness.
Yeah, so right now we've got floods. I'm not kidding. There's a town called Lismore, which is in northern New South Wales, which is currently thinking that the flood levels are going to rise to around 17 metres. The last time it flooded that high was in 2015, but it wasn't that high. It was only 11 metres, so it's still got a ways to go.
That does not sound good.
No, and apparently we're going to be getting that rain system hit us where we live on Wednesday. So, yay. And we've already had two floods here in the last 4 months. Just saying.
I hope you get a boat ready and
Where my two blocks of land are, we're lucky we won't get flooded in.
Look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants,
I own land. I feel like Stewie Griffin in that cutaway is like, it's nice to own land.
So how many surfs do you have?
Kids don't count, right?
No, they don't, but kangaroos do.
To be honest, where I live, there are a lot of kangaroos, like a lot. Like
there was... I've heard that kangaroos are actually considered a nuisance, generally.
They're a pain in the ass. So the new block of land that we just bought, which is only, I'll talk about it in the imperial sense because you guys like to complicate your numbers. It was about a mile away from our current house.
Okay.
And there is, so a group of kangaroos called Mob, and there is at least two of them on the block that we just bought, which make up about 30 or 40 kangaroos.
That is awful. So are you going to build a fence or something?
Yeah, you know, there will be a fence because our dog will need to be able to be fenced in. So, there will be a fence. There's a road going into, so the main highway driving into the town that I live in, there's a nice straight for about 2 miles long, and there's like hundreds of kangaroos. Like, you're advised to slow down in case you hit a kangaroo.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They suck.
Yeah, it's not like that where I live.
No, because you're in city, aren't you?
Well, I mean, not far from, but I mean, I don't live in the woods or anything.
No, see, well, I live in what is classified as rural. So, yeah, we live in the woods. Like, the block that we just bought is 7 acres of bushland. So, yeah.
I don't. No, I do mean to laugh. It's just
we're hillbillies, mate. But you've got to remember, you've got to remember though. In Australia, most of it is rural. Like you, so like for argument's sake, Canberra, where CanCon is, it only takes you 15 minutes to drive out of it to hit rural land.
That is so weird.
I know, but it's a built-up city. Like you're in the middle of the city with all of the city conveniences. Drive for about 20 minutes. Oh, look, there's a cow.
Yeah, that's not... It's not bad. It's just that's not here at all. It's...
No.
We're in, like, this unified city belt where I am from, like...
From what I understand,
Eastern
though,
Massachusetts to New York City all the way down. Like, it's just one big thing.
Yeah, well...
It's crazy.
But you've got to remember, like, there was a thing I was watching the other day about how lights show the population of the Earth. And the lights over America, like from space, still show like the extent of the Western expansion, which is really interesting because you've got this, like the original colonies, they just look like everything's like lit up, and then as you spread out west, it sort of fades out, and then there's a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there, and then you get to the Western Seaboard, and then obviously with a couple of the major cities like Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco, they come down and it's like all bright again. Like, it's such an interesting thing to see that there is still something like that in the United States when your country formally finished being a colony a couple hundred years ago. So, yeah.
True. We're the new kids on the block.
No, Australia is. Australia is younger than you.
No, that's also true. Yeah.
And we are still subjected to the Queen.
Well, for the time being, anyway.
Yeah, she's got the spicy cough at the moment.
I know.
So,
poor...
that's the thing. Like, most Australians don't give a crap. If she came here, be like, oh, yeah, cool. I have met briefly Prince Charles, briefly.
I feel like there's a lot in that.
No. So what had happened? There was he came to, this is when I was still living in Tasmania. They were doing like a royal tour with Charles and Camilla. And so they're doing their thing and there's this big group of people. We're in a group. I was with the radio show that I was with, and we had a microphone. And my mate next to me, who had the microphone, he's like, "How are you liking Hobart, Prince Charles?" And he's like, "Oh, it's a wonderful day." And then he points to the person next to us. "Do you listen to this dribble?" Well, thanks, Charles.
Oh my goodness! Whoa.
So, yeah.
That is awful.
Oh, it's fun.
You listen to this dribble.
But mind you, I'm used to that from people in leadership, in political leadership. saying things, but mind you, we give it back. So, like, I don't know, you've seen the episode of The Simpsons where they're in Australia. He's like, I've got to report this to the Prime Minister. And he goes over the hill and there's a guy in an inner tube in the pond. And he's like, hey, Mr. Prime Minister, Andy. That happens.
That's funny.
It's like, so.
It's a different world.
Well, it's, that's just how it is here. Like, everyone knows everyone. We take the piss out of absolutely everybody.
So I used to do another podcast called Geeks Explicitly.
And I did remember one episode. That's how long we've known each other, John.
That's a long time ago. But I did one episode, which, oh man, it's embarrassing, but I'm going to share it because why the heck not? About ice cream. Mm. And I remember someone telling me after they heard it that they thought I wasn't really talking about ice cream. That it seemed like it might have been a euphemism for something else because the way I described it was very intimate. It was just, it's so bad, but that whatever that noise was just made me think of that. That's funny. People can still get episodes of Geeks Explicitly, I believe, on Apple Podcasts and all the things if you so want to.
Is it still running?
No, goodness, no. But I'm very proud of what I think was the final episode that I did, although I didn't realize it was the final one, where I talk about, spoiler alert, the death of Optimus Prime in the original Transformers animated film.
Oh, that was,
and how it was more than just the death of a character, what it really meant as an impact to an entire generation of children, and how it exposed children to death and how to handle it and how to deal with grieving and mourning. And little did I know that would come in useful many years later, I have had to deal with so many people dying on me.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
It's come in handy. Yeah.
But what's funny is I think it was only a few years ago that I learned that the person who does the voice of Optimus Prime, who's done it like through the animations, the CGI films, and in the live action films, is also the voice of Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, there's so much crossover in those voice actors.
It's funny because you end up getting favorite voice actors, which is something I quite enjoy. Voice acting is something that if I could do it, I would.
What kind of character would you want to do it for?
Well, anything. Like, I don't know. I've never really thought of it. I have auditioned for a few things. I actually managed to get quite a ways up for... There was a they called an undisclosed science fiction first-person shooter game. This is going back a few years ago where I went through the audition process. I missed
Halo?
Out. I missed out. No, it wasn't Halo. I have my inklings to what it was because I got a copy of it sent to me for free a few months later. A few months. It was like a year and a half later. But I won't disclose what it was. And I'm sort of kicking myself because it would have been so cool. It would have been amazing. But yeah, it was... I would, yeah, anything that's quasi-serious or even humorous, like as most Aussies would do, like anything we can have a laugh with, essentially.
I think you need to find a character, and you should do it on your podcast from time to time.
So the podcast I've been running lately has been quite serious. So my brother-in-law and I started a podcast together talking about essentially self-help and like the processes that we both have been using to enable us to pull ourselves out of negative places and spaces in our heads and make some moves to win. He runs his own business and he has turned a lawn mowing business that he bought for $10,000 into quite a large business, like substantially cool. Large business. And he's also, his main drives, he's a former pro golfer. He is a fitness fanatic, to say the least. But he also, how he approaches finding information for himself, self-research and that sort of thing. And we did an episode, so we release weekly. We did an episode yesterday when we talked about the stuff going on over in the Ukraine, which, again, heart goes out to all the civilians involved. You shouldn't be in that position at all. But it's just amazing how, the project that came about, because we were just messaging her, we share fairly similar political views, and we were talking about stuff, and he's like, let's do a podcast like Andy Priscilla. I'm like, oh, okay. I was not expecting that, because we're not particularly close friends, but we're friends. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it was like the last person in the world I thought who would want to do a project like that with me. But the project's going really good. It's called The Process, Politics, Parenting, and Preparing for the Future. And yeah, it's been really an interesting sort of ride at the moment. But going back to what you said before, like doing a weird, like I made a joke.
Well, I never said it had to be weird or a joke. I just said you should do a character.
No, I think I dropped like a Russian accent into something I said yesterday.
I think you need a mascot who makes it more accessible for people. And your mascot should be a character that you embody and bring to life when you're going to cover something.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes I have ideas that are not total awful, and this might be one of them.
No, it makes perfect sense. Actually, I might use that one.
I think you should. I'll give it to you for free. No finder's fee or anything.
I'll take that. It's recorded. Hey, you don't have to say anything.
If it's bad, I take no credit for this. It's all on you, man.
That's exactly
nothing
right.
to do with it.
All right, so I feel like we're not on topic at all.
I feel like it doesn't matter because. So do you know what? This is going to connect to stuff. So one of the things that I've learned. And I know last episode I promised people, and this isn't going to be one of them, but I promised people that, actually episode before last, that every episode wasn't going to be a, oh, Jonathan is sad kind of thing. Because, like, I mean, while that'd be a funny meme, I think that's not what this is. But one of the things I've learned through having so many close friends and family members die on me, which is a terrible thing, and I know I'm, like, making light of it, but honestly, if I don't... I will just start sobbing, and we don't need that anymore.
But that's an Australian method of doing things. Like we will, that's how we do it.
Like this time, like the other day, I was just spent days sobbing. But one of the things that I learned was that it's okay, and you have to accept it, right? That it's okay if things don't go necessarily according to plan, and that sometimes you just got to take what comes at you. And just go with it, whatever it is. And so maybe we're taking a winding course through talking about gaming at conventions and events during pandemic. But everything kind of relates. And I think, if nothing else, it's really good. Because some listeners are newer, right? And they may not have known about your previous episodes that you've done here for us. And this helps them to know you. No, so that when you do more content, they'll be like, whoa, we really like that, Joshua. Let's get rid of Jonathan and have Joshua on instead. I used to tell Adrian, actually, and he never believed me. For those who don't know, Adrian, a dear friend of mine who passed away and co-host of the show, but he used to always be amazed and always thought I was lying. I swear, like he never believed me, that whenever he would come on and co-host a show with me, I would get feedback, and it would always be wonderful things about him. And I would tell him how much people really enjoyed him on the show. And because of me, I would be like, you know, that's because they don't know you any better, but also because they know that I'm just rubbish. And so they appreciate when there's actually someone talented on and they're not listening to me.
It's not the fact that you're rubbish. It's the fact that
it's true. I am.
Any podcast is 100 times better when there is another person on. And that goes with anything.
It's not me.
Shut up. It's a radio, if it's podcast, if it's anything. And that's just the basic narrative, unless you are fantastic at speaking out of your ass, like most Aussies are. But the thing is, it's funny that you say that, Because early days with Adrian, when you used to say, oh, Adrian's on, I'm like, oh, no, because the audio is going to be crap and I'm going to have to do so much work. And it's because he had this stupid microphone.
So that's – it's funny that you mentioned this because in the early days, I had to pull teeth to get him to come on. And he didn't think he would like it. And then he started to like it. But then he was like, oh, I don't want to spend money on stuff. And then he started thinking, well, actually, I do like this. And maybe I will spend money on it. And so there was this whole progression going on. But once he liked it, he went full force. He would just dive right in. You get whatever, and he had no problem doing that. But in the beginning, like, I don't know. And I swear he thought I was crazy or something. Well, I think he always thought that. But,
he was the epitome of a grumpy old man. Like,
do you know what? So, like, there is some – people ask me, actually, about that, how much of that is real. And some of it is real, and it exists. But what I think a lot of people never really got to experience as much was just – he was such a softy. He was a real teddy bear. I'm a hugger and he was not. So sometimes I would want to torture him because that's how I show my love, which is really messed up actually now that I say it, but like for people who are close to me, like, and I love him. But I would just like go up to him and I'd be like, come on, give me a hug, man. And he would be like, what is wrong with you? Because that's not how he expressed it. But he would do. He was a doer. So if he knew that you were having trouble with something or you needed whatever, next thing you know, like things are taken care of. He would do whatever. And so he was an actions speak louder than words. Whereas I'm a, well, let me, my love languages are like, physical touch, hugging people, and I feel like I'm doing a self-help episode, like an extension of your show. But also, like, words of affirmation are a big thing for me. And so that's what I express towards others as well. So I would always share that kind of stuff. But
No, it's funny that you say that because you can sort of tie this into how it was when we got to the convention. There was a number – because, again, like as I said, like I've been going to CanCon every time it's been on since I moved to New South Wales. And I've been participating in Star Wars Legion tournament since day one. So the first one they ever did, the first grand tournament we ever had, I was there. So there's, and so we knew people like from every tournament. And there's like a bunch of guys like, mate, how are you? And then, like, there's hugs, there's handshakes. And it was that kind of vibe. And that's the best thing about going to conventions. What sucked is we had to wear a mask inside the entire time. And
now, did you have to socially distance? Were you like, what was that kind of stuff like?
It was recommended. So that was a weird thing. So you could play your table game like it, as long as there was room to social distance, it was okay. However, you were not allowed to stand up and consume food or drink. You had to sit down. Made no freaking sense.
Okay, so you could eat and drink as long as you were sitting. So you could sit at that table where you're gaming and eat and drink you wanted, but you couldn't stand.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. To the point where we were like, I remember just taking my mask down to have a quick drink of water while standing up at a table, and one of the marshals comes up and they're like, you put your mask back on, please, and remember, if you need to have a drink, sit down. I know, I'm just thinking, you idiot.
That is really interesting. Well, I mean, I always knew you were a rabble-rouser, but that is...
not that bad.
Well, I mean, you're pretty bad. But that's just the crowd I hang with. So it is true. But you were able to engage in physical... That sounds so creepy. You were able to hug one another, like, if you wanted to? Like, there was no, whoa, back off, people, let's...
It really depended on the person as well. Like that's something which is quite highlighted in our community at the minute. There are a lot of people who are who are still scared of the virus, and there are a lot of people who are very blasé about it. And then you've got there's a few people in the middle, and those were the people who were at the convention. People who were just still scared about the coronavirus were staying home. They didn't want to go anywhere near CanCon at all.
Yeah.
So, that was the So you have those people who would like physically move away. You took one step within that 1.5 meter boundary, and they're like, "Whoop, no!" And that was actually quite interesting to watch.
So can we convert, you know, that 1.5 meter to what normal people use here in America
for feet, 5 point something feet?
Okay, because like over here, we're told you need 6 feet between you.
Yeah, so 6 foot for us is like not even 2 meters. It's like two.
So,
six and a half would be. Six and a half would be about 2.5 meters.
In my head, I'm always thinking, do I have enough room between me and the other person to put a gaming table down and play a game?
And no, you don't. That's the thing. You don't, because it's 4 foot. There we go. Bang, done.
Well, I have a 6x4 foot table here in my studio. So one person can be on the other end. I can be on the other 6 foot distance.
That's if you're doing long march.
Well, that's true, but I mean, you could do, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're right. You'd have 4 feet going. But like, you could do the long way and just kind of play a long game of maneuvering things around and hope something happens. But I play those kind of games. They're boring, but for me anyway, I mean, some people like them.
But mind you, like, when it comes to that social distancing, so I drove up with a mate. So when I'm the one who drove, my mate was in the car. I had two mates in the car with me from our gaming club. We actually ended up having a team of people go up to CanCon. Wow. And we all stayed at the same place. We ate out together. We were always in close quarters with each other. So none of us up there caught the spicy cough. In fact, I haven't had it at all during this entire
That's
epidemic.
Good.
At all. So for someone who works in the healthcare industry, yeah, it's bloody awesome.
That's really impressive, man.
So, yeah. So it's the whole thing with it all, when you watched how people dealt with it, was really interesting. It was really curious, especially after everything that we've been through and then going to Canberra. And how Canberra, because it's a different, it's not part of New South Wales as a state, so they have their own rules and whatnot. And how they did it, their QR code check-ins and that sort of thing. And that was really interesting to see. And just how, like, certain shops are closed, certain services were still open and that sort of thing. It was really interesting.
So over here, we've had, generally where I live, it's a very conservative approach to this kind of stuff.
Massachusetts, governor is Republican?
It is a conservative governor. Things vary. But no matter what, it's a very cautious approach to stuff. So it's everyone's erring on the side of caution, social distancing, wearing masks, vaccines. There are some cities that were requiring you to have proof of vaccination, or you couldn't do stuff indoors or gatherings or whatever.
And we had that for a while here, and that was really archaic for us.
It's odd because numbers had been dropping, and then some of the stuff kind of happened, and now things seem to be restrictions are lessening. So there's they're recommended that tend to not be required, is what it is. But even with that, there's this kind of fluctuation, and it seems like people don't quite know what to do generally, because there's kind of some mixed messaging going on, I think, or some people are receiving a mixed message.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really interesting, so that I know people who have gamed with one another. They've gamed, you know, outside. They've done whatever. We just had this weekend up here. It was the first time they did it since pandemic. Total Confusion. It's the largest tabletop gaming convention in New England. And it's one I always go to. But I didn't attend this year because I'm immunocompromised. And would I catch something? Probably not. But I can't chance it if I do. So although I have, you know, health and safety things in place and all that kind of stuff, it's just I wasn't able to go. But that was my personal choice, right? So like those who did go the convention, I know they had all sorts of precautions in place for individuals to They had like hand sanitizer everywhere. You didn't have to be vaccinated, but they were doing social distancing. Everyone had to wear masks. You couldn't eat or drink on the gaming floors, whether you were sitting or standing. I'm sorry, that is just really weird. Like, you could sit at the table and joke.
We've had some weird stuff here. Like, even
that is just bizarre.
Even in pubs, you weren't like, if you went and got a beer or something like that, you were like, you couldn't stand up and drink. You had to sit down and drink, because apparently that's how COVID's transmitted in Australia. It's weird.
I'm not going to touch that because we are not controversial in that way here.
No.
Give me a recall.
It's got nothing to do with the actuality of the transmission of COVID-19. It is the weird rules that our government just makes up. Like, there was a really weird one that made absolutely no sense, and I can't remember it, but it was hilarious. It was like you had to, when you got to a restaurant, you had to have your mask on. And then you were only allowed to take it off when you sat down, because that's it. But there was no social distancing.
I think the best thing for me to do is to say that if anyone's not really sure what they should do, they should refer to their qualified medical health professionals.
That's what I've been saying to everybody.
What is appropriate for them.
So we're lucky. One of our gamers in our group is quite an accomplished medical practitioner.
Oh, okay.
So, we're able just to go, oi, what's the go? Because you're educated in this. What do we do? And he's one of those guys who's like, facts doesn't care about his feelings. Goes, here it is. Here's what the laws are. Do that. I'm like, sweet, cool. We'll be safe. Which has been great.
So it sounds like CanCon used different kind of precautions. Maybe some made more common sense to attendees than others.
There was a weird thing that they did, was really, really odd. I can understand what they were trying to do, but this is my opinion of it, and it's not a criticism on CanCon organizers at all. They were trying to do the right thing. So it is what it is. But they had it. So there's a stall that they have there every year. It's a secondhand stall, where a group from Sydney collate this massive collection of secondhand gaming materials from books, models, games, whatever. It all comes in. And they said, okay, if you wanted to go to to this thing, you needed to buy a ticket. Or not buy a ticket, you needed to get a ticket to be allowed in at a certain time in the day to go in and peruse it. And we're like, okay, what about these people who are playing tournaments? When are they allowed to go in there and get it? Because they'll just have to go into the backup line, but they'll get first priority. And it got to the point where nobody in the tournament sections were going, because they couldn't risk going, standing in the line to go into a secondhand store. And then they ended up putting that same thing on the trade hall. And by the end of day one, they realized that it wasn't working, and they just said, all right, no tickets. You go in when you can, to anyone who's playing in a tournament.
I mean, it's good that they were able to adapt to that. I think that's really kind of key for organizers and attendees for these kind of things, whether it's during a time of public health crisis or whatever, to just kind of see what's going on, to adapt, and for everyone to kind of have a little bit of understanding.
That's the key. So, like, yes, there were things that were annoying, but we understood that without these restrictions, without these protocols in place, we weren't going to have CanCon. So what would you rather have? CanCon running at, say, 50, 75% capacity, or no CanCon? And, like, everyone who went, you could tell they were there for the camaraderie, the community, the gaming. They were there for the right reasons. There was no one there causing a scene. There was no one there trying to prove points that didn't need to be made. It was specifically gamers gaming with their mates, and that was what was perfect about it.
So you just mentioned capacity, and I'm going to presume, of course, that attendance was down compared to prior years.
To the point where they had it was actually the physical capacity as well, where they had, because there's usually three or four different pavilions, and there was one pavilion where that's like full of people gaming, and the second store usually goes there too. That was shut. They didn't have that.
So it was noticeable, basically, that there was fewer people.
To the point that Star Wars Legion tournament outnumbered Warhammer 40K by quite a bit.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the really interesting one. I was expecting to see AOS or 40K taking up a large part of the tournament hall. The game that took up the most room was Bolt Action.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and then they had a separate room for Kings of War, and they had another separate room for the collecting card games like Magic the Gathering, Blood and Gore, and whatever. And mm-hmm. they had a smaller pavilion open specifically for RPG games.
Now, would you say most gaming is tournament or organized play as opposed to pick-up games or more casual kind of stuff?
The way that it's done here, the pick-up casual games is the ones that are wanting to grow communities. So newer games or games are about to have a Kickstarter or something like that. That's what I noticed. But they do a thing there called the Games Library, where it's a ticketed area. You go in and you've got access to all the games. Literally all the games. All the games. And you can go in and casually play with friends and that sort of thing. And that was there, and that seemed a lot quieter as well, actually, to be honest.
Now, no matter how well anyone runs an event, there's going to be something that can always be improved on or altered maybe in some way.
Yeah.
So for you, right, this is just a personal kind of opinion. Hmm. Based off your experience at CanCon, what sort of suggestions as an attendee would you offer to a convention that has to operate under these similar kind of restrictions and circumstances?
Are you talking about the tournament organizers, or are you talking about the event organizers?
Well, let's start with one and then go to the other.
Okay, so the event organizers, we'll talk about camp. And I got to be kind, because I know a couple of the people who are on the committee. I would get them to... I don't know if this is practical, but a solicitor for us is a lawyer. I would have mm-hmm. had a solicitor on call to refer to all of the restrictions that the government have put in place, because it is such a very fluid thing going on at the moment in Australia. The rules change every day. Yeah, so I would have just had one on hand to make changes during the event, just so that everything could be like 100% no issues. I would have had signage up to what people had to do in order to enter the event, because getting to the event was a little bit weirder than normal. Because you had to go and get your ticket. So if you're a tournament player, you pay your fee and get in, and then they give you armbands. But we had no idea what we had to do that when we got there. There was no signage up. The people who were there to help didn't know what was going on. They didn't have maps ready like they normally do. It was just a few things that I believe were overlooked because of the external measures that they had to take as well. Just little things, very little things when it comes to the event organizers, to be honest. And don't do the ticket system. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, especially for people playing in tournaments.
No, I mean, I think those sound like good feedback, especially signage, having some sort of wayfinding or informational sort of things. Yeah, anything you can kind of do really, to it was really make difficult. Life a little easier.
It was really difficult. And I said it as someone who's been to CanCon numerous times, quite regularly. So
here's a big question.
Okay.
How did it feel to be at the convention?
I felt great.
To be gaming in person with people in that way.
I sent a message to my wife at the end of day one. I was the happiest I've been in a very long time. I was with friends. We were laughing. We were having games. Like, yeah, I won one. I lost one. I lost another one. But it was just an amazing day. Like, we had our mates in our club. So the Bigger Valley Wargaming Association, we had a group of six of us there. We're having a laugh. One of our mates is like, "Oh, I'm beating you, Josh." And, that's okay. He's from the room. He can talk like that. The camaraderie, the whole I can't describe how good it was for me. It was something I'd been able to put in the diary. It was the light at the end of the tunnel for me, and it was my first major time off that I've had in a year. And yeah, it was amazing. Utterly amazing.
It sounds like it was restorative for you.
Yes, you know, it was. I was able to get some more juice in the tank, so to speak.
That's important.
Yeah,
you need to be able to recharge.
Exactly. No, exactly.
So I presume if things continue as they are, CanCon will come around next year.
Well, funny that you mention that, mate, because
yeah,
I have it here that, where is it? I have it here. WinterCon, which is the little brother of CanCon, which is planned for the 16th and 17th of July. So organisations going on for that. We're hoping to see a Star Wars Legion tournament there. It depends on Nick Ward, who is one of the ones who's behind it. There's a few things will have to happen, but yeah, we could possibly have another tournament coming up in July, which would be great.
That's cool. So generally, about how many of these kind of things a year, when times are normal, about how many of these a year are there around you? And about how many of them do you tend to go to?
I usually, just because time and all of that stuff that I, in the work that I have and having kids, I usually only ever go to CanCon and WinterCon. The only two. I have been tempted to go to a few of the others. There's one in Sydney called Moab, which happens, I want to say, March, April. and then just after that, actually, there's one on Anzac Day, which is in April, late April. That happens in Canberra at ADFA, which is our version of West. What do you call? Is it West Point? Is that what you guys call it?
Oh, yeah, the military academy?
Yeah, so we at our middle military academy, they do one there, and it's a lot of the military actually take place in that. They take part, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of gaming that's done by military members. In fact, four of our main group at game here five of them are ex-servicemen. So they're former members of the military. And so, yeah, there's that. And there's a couple scattered throughout the year. You've got Supernova, BrizCon. They're all up north. And you've got one down in Melbourne. I've never been to it. One at Hobart. I've never been to it. But, yeah, there's a few that happen in Australia. In fact, someone commented on CanCon's Facebook page when they announced the dates for WinterCon saying, oh, it's becoming a saturated market in Australia, and I totally disagree. There might be a lot of smaller conventions, but it's about community building, especially in the wintertime. Community build up for the major events that happen every year.
Yeah. I'm really excited to hear that because I know how much you enjoy it. And also, I mean, for me, this is 2022 is a year of unexpected not attending events for me. So I really had thought that I would be going to conventions. And it's interesting because this year we didn't do a Kickstarter for the podcast, but the to previous years when we had done them, we really were kind of leaning into the whole convention sort of thing. Yeah. And we were thinking of expanding what cons we go to, and that we were going to, of course my heat comes on, that we were going to go and start hitting up some of the bigger ones. So that was kind of like on the horizon. Because over here you have things like Historicon, which is the really large one. And that's one where you have game designers come from the UK and Europe and like the big names that you can think of for any of the games that everyone kind of plays. And so the plan was to kind of do all of those. But this year, no conventions in person and none of that kind of stuff for a variety of reasons. But in 2023, I'm looking forward to kind of getting back to some normalcy. And
I reckon you should go. The names escape me. The really large one that happens every year in the States, and I can't remember it.
Gen Con?
Yeah, Gen Con. You need to go to Gen Con, mate.
So like around here, there's tons of conventions, and there's a lot of medium to kind of smaller ones that do a lot of that community building. And I'm looking forward, like normally for me, I would do 2 to 3 conventions.
Yeah.
TotalCon up in Maine, there's Huzzah, and then in Western Mass, Central Mass more, I would do one called Havoc. And had thought about kind of expanding. And so I will be having a dearth of conventions for myself. And I'm honestly not even sure how many of them will be happening. I know TotalCon just happened and Huzzah will be happening, but I'm not quite sure about all the others.
We'll see.
As time progresses.
One convention that I usually follow, and that's LVO. There's a lot of Star Wars Legion gets played there. It's actually one of the largest, I think, if not the largest Star Wars Legion tournament that happens in the States is at the Las Vegas Open.
Yeah.
And that's on my bucket list to go to.
Yeah, I know that's a big one. And then people like Adepticon like 40K and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but Adepticon's becoming very multi-gamed, incredibly multi-gamed.
It is.
To the point where, you know, when Gen Con's on, when Adepticon's on, you're like, okay, cool, announcements, cool. We're going to see some new stuff.
Yeah. They're getting up there.
They better get up
there. I think for me, something like Gen Con, I think, is too big. I've heard it's one of those things every gamer needs to do once, and that for most, once is enough.
I haven't experienced it, so I don't really have an opinion on it, but it is something I do want to experience one day.
I love the community aspect of a lot of the smaller ones. Like you mentioned, like, you know, you go in and you see so-and-so, and this is when you see them, and you just kind of have that connection, which is really nice. For me, conventions are really – I don't play games at conventions, which is, I think, weird for a lot of listeners. I go and I network. Conventions are working events for me. I go and we get content and I network with individuals and that kind of stuff. So I might play a game or two, maybe, but that's not really why I'm there, which is like I go to a gaming convention to not game, is what it is.
No, I can understand that. But I used to be that way, where I would go to the conventions, you know, shop to play the pickup games, like you do that sort of stuff. Meet friends and that sort of thing. But then again, it's going to the community thing again, where I got involved with the Star Wars Legion community day one, and it's just, yeah, I have never looked back. There's dramas that have happened with individuals, but hey, they're not me, they're not people I associate with, so I don't really care. So it doesn't matter to me. I'm here to play games, roll dice with people who have that same mentality.
I think it's really good that you mentioned Legion, because when I was kind of doing some prep for our chat tonight, I realized one of the things we haven't done in a while on the show is a segment that used to happen all the time, and it's Mailbag. And in Mailbag for tonight, I was just kind of jotting down some of the things, some feedback and listener kind of stuff. And one of the things that a listener had remarked a previous episode for this year was involved me talking about the possibility there's going to be a connection. I know you might not.
Yeah,
know
I'm listening. I'm listening. Going. I'm listening.
About using Lego, talk about callback to earlier this episode, for some wargaming. And I really only known about there being some rules, specific Lego gaming rules, Brick Wars and things like that. But listener Chris R. Had said, quote, "Play with Lego. You may want to consider Star Wars Legion as your game system. I am collecting an Endor Force myself," unquote. And he actually shared a photo of some Lego minifig Ewoks that he's using in his Star Wars Legion games. And I have no experience with Legion, but I'm really curious. Do you think that could work, using Lego instead of the official Legion minis and stuff to play some games?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because it's roughly the same scale, give or take a couple of mil. Roughly the same scale. You've got the variety in the miniatures. You've got weaponry you can add to it and that sort of thing. The fallback on this one, however, is the amount of money it will cost if you're using legitimate Lego figures, because it is expensive in that regard. And the miniatures from AMG are not, like, compared to most other miniature games, they're actually quite affordable.
I hear you. And you're right. Lego is not cheap. However, Lego does have, for me, the benefit of never needing to be painted.
See, but that's the thing. I know you're not a painter. You hate painting. I love it to the point where I have a crate that lives in the back of my car that has all of my painting and other tools that I use for hobbying. So if I can do it at work, I can do it at work. If I'm doing it somewhere else, I can pull it out and do some painting. And that's how I seem to get my painting involved in my day.
Do you know, if I could paint at work, I probably would too.
Oh, it's fun. It's so much fun.
I just get to take a nap.
That's because you're an old man.
That's not true. I'm with robots at work, actually. I get paid to
You got those set up robots, don't you?
I did that. I set up video game consoles, and then I do boring stuff involving money and that sort of stuff. But I do have some fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think where I am in my situation in life at the moment, Lego could absolutely work for me. And I mean, the cost is, of course, a fair consideration in there. But
you get a discount.
Makes me happy. maybe. I mean, or maybe not. I don't know. But it makes me happy to know that you think Lego could work well with Legion. I just have to pick up the rule book, I guess, and give it a look at.
One of the reasons why I like Legion, it is one of the easiest game systems. Yet it lends itself, through its simplicity, to be amazingly strategic.
Well, now, I mean, you set the bar so low that when I fail at it, as I will, it's just going to make me feel extra terrible. I mean, geez, man.
No, well.
You're going to be like, whoa, it's so difficult. And, you know, anyone who does even a little bit is just really incredible with this. And,
well, the fact that the fact that they allow their rule book to be available for free on their website. Yeah, no, you don't have to pay any money to get the rule book at all.
How did I not know this? Why haven't you told me this before?
I have.
I doubt that. I think the drop bears have been falling on your head too much.
I will say, though, like, in order, like, you will need to buy, like, the movement tools, but that's a negligible sort of thing because they use in-game measuring to the point where I do think, though, that you can find 3D printed versions that you can print off. Or you can just buy the core set where you get two armies, two sets of movement tools, dice, and everything, because they also use in-game dice as well.
Really, what you're saying, by buying the core set and then selling off all of the things in it that aren't accessories, could pay for the cost of the accessories and also pay for some Lego.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you want to take it that way, you can.
Have the rules and everything, have they moved over from Fantasy Flight? Because people may not know Fantasy Flight doesn't have the Star Wars license anymore. Have they moved over to the other company? I can't remember the name.
Yeah, so Asmodee moved. So this is the funny thing. So Fantasy Flight and Asmodee are like two little baby companies owned by Asmodee.
Okay.
So AMG and Fantasy Flight, I should say. And so Atomic Mass Games, a lot of people know them through Marvel Crisis Protocol. They did all that. And Fantasy Flight normally are just, you know, board and card games and RPG games. So The only tabletop miniature game that they did was Star Wars Legion. So what the head company is like, okay, we're going to remove all of the tabletop miniature games from FFG and give it to AMG. And AMG, any board games that you guys are doing, you're going to give to FFG. So that was just about putting the right tool set. Sorry, the right projects with the right tool set. So the people who actually develop and play tabletop games, or tabletop miniature games, are working on tabletop miniature gaming. That makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Yeah. I mean, you want to organize things so that it's logical.
Yeah, yeah, well, attempt to at least.
Yeah, I mean, as much as one can in this crazy world.
Yep.
No, that's interesting. I will have to look up. I'll have to find the rules online. I'm sure they're easy to find. And we can share them.
I'll
shoot
you a link. How's that?
There you go. And do you know what's even better? You should also put them on our Facebook fan club group so that others can find them if they're not aware of it as well.
Can do that. And also, if there's anyone who is willing to have a crack at playing it on Tabletop Simulator, I'm also happy to sit down and give you a lesson in the game.
There you go. Yeah. That's an offer people should take up.
That's it. Shoot me a message. No, shoot John a message and then he'll let me know.
And actually, it's interesting. The whole Lego thing kind of took off because, for whatever reason, listeners kind of had taken to that episode. Mm. And so listener and superstar Game Master Mike Payne, he's going to hate that I call him that, actually kind of he saw the stuff and he commented about it online. And he has this beautiful fictional Shanghai layout.
Yeah,
for like pulp wargaming, he called it said Hinkai, and he said if I get all the Lego or whatever that he will set up his whole table, and I can just run games on it for kids and stuff at events because I think that would be a neat thing to do.
Okay,
and just kind of a neat way to make it happen. But I do want to remind everyone. Speaking of socials. That we are on all the things as Wargaming Recon. So when you're rolling your dice, whether you're at CanCon or whatever, all those numbers you roll, they're code for what happens in an episode of Wargaming Recon. So we're everywhere. You can find us at all the things. And Joshua, if people want to stay up to date with what you're doing on the daily, how can they do that?
So they can find me my miniature painting Instagram, which is GameAlives-MiniPainting. Where I put up all the minis that I paint. Oh, not all of them. The ones that I like go up on there. And you can also find me on the Process FM, which is the weekly podcast that I've been shooting out for the last 3 or 4 months. And if you do type in Joshua Shoebridge, you'll find a political page where I ran for my local government. It is dead at the moment, so don't. Well, you can like it if you want, but I'm not posting there much at the present time.
I think you're insane for doing a weekly podcast, and I admire you for it at the same time. That is a lot of work, but people should check it out.
Well, I've got the workflow worked out well, so that's one of the best things. Like have the mentality and the mindset and the university degree in sound engineering, you can sort of create it. So when you're doing a podcast and you know what the style you're looking at, you can create the workflow to make it quite simple and easy. And the tools also that we're using, especially what I'm using today to record our podcast, using the Rode USB NT Mini, because I'm out at my office. I'm not actually at my home studio. And I'm using the Rode Connect software to allow me to do the remote recording.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing what you can do nowadays.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, I don't want to take up all your time today. I am just so grateful to you for coming on this episode and having this meandering conversation with me. It is honestly incredibly good to hear your voice.
Mate, I will do this anytime. I would do this anytime.
I'm going to embarrass you now, but I don't really care because I tell you this all the time. And again, because of life, I try to make sure that those around me know how I feel about them. And I think you're just an incredible guy. And I am so grateful to know you and have you as a friend. And you're a wonderful man. So thank you. And thank you for you.
No. And the feelings goes both ways, mate. Like, you're a good bloke. And like the fact that we've been able to connect through our, like, I love the podcast and tabletop wargaming. It's fantastic. And like, we've never met in person yet. We've had a friendship yet. But we've had a really amazing friendship that's lasted over 8 years.
Dude, when we meet in person, you are getting the biggest hug in the world, whether you want it or not.
Mate, no, I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger. Don't you worry about that.
It's consent's important. But yeah, oh man, hugging is going to be great. It's going to be monumental. Everyone's going to be like, what's going on here? Like, why are they hugging like that?
My wife might be like, Josh, do you have something to tell me?
Yeah, she'll be in the eyes of my wife. She'll be like, that's a little long. What are you? Yeah. No, the hug will be incredible. But thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. We get some cool stuff coming up, some guests and other content that I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want to tease it and get you to come and listen to it. But Josh, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day.
No, anytime.
So as everyone who's listened to the show for a long time knows, and as you know, this is so cheesy, but I can't stop because people like it. It's true. So no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're thinking, does Jonathan really believe in drop bears? You know that you gotta. You need to. You have to. That's right. Keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Thank you to everyone who backed our 2021 podcast season on Kickstarter. In particular, we'd like to thank 3DDZYN at 3ddesign.com, Nate Taylor of Dwarven Forge, and Things from the Basement, where you can get highly detailed laser-cut terrain kits for 28, 20, and 15mm figures and other exciting products. We couldn't have been successful without the help of all of you. Thank you so much for your support and being part of our community. We hope you are enjoying the 2021 season.